Doug Smith of the Toronto Star joins us. So how many different leads did you go through last night, Smitty?
I don't even want to talk about it because I can't remember what I wrote. But I tell you, if they had lost, it would have been gibberish.
Tell you, you know, someday I remember this watching the Arizona Diamondbacks beat the Yankees, and somebody in the press box in that Game 7, somebody in the press box came up with the idea that we should all save the leads we wrote that never saw the light of day and put them in a book.
I think that would be outstanding. You'd have to sell it as fiction, but it'd be really good.
Well, yeah, that's absolutely true. You would have to do that. All right, Doug, I'll ask you. Let's start with DeMar DeRozan last night. Sam Mitchell was just on NBA TV talking about his game, and you know he was making the point. Look, you know, yeah, the shooting percentage wasn't great, but he said people kept waiting to see some fearlessness from DeMar. You know, they kept waiting to see this a guy willing to take things on his own shoulders, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And Sam's point of view was you got to have enough faith in this guy to think that, you know, that most of those shots are going to go in most of the time.
What do the young kids say? Ride or die?
Yep.
That's what you got to do. He is your guy. You got to live with him. You live with him through 56 wins and 82 regular season games. I have no problem with him taking 32 shots. I don't have a problem with taking 42 because no one else is making shots and no one else wanted to. Yeah. I'll give him all the credit in the world. That first quarter, he was more under control and assertive in the first 9 minutes of that game than he was in the first six games of the series.
Yeah, no, well said.
That's a great point, though, Smitty, because, you know, if he's not taking those shots, who's taking them for you last night?
Norm Powell made some, but he's not going to take more than 10. Kyle Lowry can't make a shot, so he's not going to – he didn't take 9 or 12 last night, 11 shots. So there you go. You got to go with the guy who got you there and live or die with him. I don't think anybody in that locker room had an issue with DeMar taking 32 shots.
I would bet that nobody in that locker room looked at the stat sheet.
No, actually, Dwayne was a little bit surprised when he looked at it when he sat down at the podium. Oh, 32, that's a lot. Yeah, well, yeah, it is a lot.
Yeah, the focus wasn't winning. Hey, Doug, can they beat the Heat with Kyle Lowry playing the way or shooting the way Kyle Lowry is shooting right now?
I would probably not, but I do think that's going to be a very intriguing series. It's going to be for a lot of different reasons. I haven't really dissected it closely, but Toronto's strengths seem to be Miami's weaknesses, and vice versa. I think it's got some compelling matchups to it. But Kyle's going to have to shoot better than 31%. There's no question. He's still making other plays. He had a couple great hustle plays last night that were key moments of the game where he made the right move. But he's got to make a shot to be a threat, and that's the biggest part.
By the time it came down to it in Game 7, Smitty, Dwayne Casey's circle of trust had narrowed considerably. He really only played 8 guys last night, right? I think Terrence Ross played 4 or 5 minutes, but essentially narrowed it down to 8 guys. Are we going to see something different against Miami, or is it going to be those 8 guys, ride them as hard as you can and as far as you can?
I think he might go to 9. I think he might dust off Luis Scola when Miami goes big with Stoudemire and Whiteside. I'm not entirely sure about that, but I don't think – Steve, the phrase circle of trust is absolutely right. I don't think there's any trust in Terrence Ross. I think if they go to 9 guys, it'll be Scola ahead of Ross, who'll play those outside of foul trouble. He might play four or six minutes a night because they love Norm Powell so much and he's playing so well. Mm-hmm. They would trust him more than they would trust Terrence Ross.
Doug, you've covered this franchise forever, literally.
I'm a worldwide expert in bad basketball.
Yeah, you have seen your share.
You have seen your share. You have put a lot of miles on. How big was that win? For let's start this way. How big was that win for the players in that locker room and for Dwayne Casey?
For the players, it was huge. You know, DeRozan's been through hell here. He came at the start of the non-playoff stretch. He saw Bosch leave. He saw the interest sort of wane. He stuck through it, and he's always been a proponent of Toronto. He's been a team guy and a city guy and a franchise guy. And, you know, I'm sure for him that was huge. He said it was the most important basketball game of his life, and he played well in it. And so I think it was huge for him. I think it's huge for the franchise reputation in the league because the whispers were, you know, they couldn't win in the playoffs. What are they going to do this time? Did they get a lead and did they spin up the series? Because if they drop this one, they become irrelevant again. I think the league sits up this morning and goes, oh, wait a minute. Those 56 wins weren't a fluke. This team just won a tough Game 7 against a pretty good Indianapolis team, and they're a force now. They're, people are starting to, are going to talk about them more, and the trickle-down effect in the summer and next fall is going to be significant.
How about the counter to that, Smitty, would be they won 56 games, they were a better team, they're a two playing a seven, and they made it really tough.
Yeah, you know, that's absolutely out there, but I think 2-7 was a little bit of a red herring because the Patriots had played really well in the last month of the season,
mm-hmm.
and they struggled mightily at the start. I don't know what their record was early, but it was awful when they were trying to play small with George at the four. And then they went to more traditional lineup and made more traditional play style of play, and they became a very good basketball team late in the year. And, you know, playoffs are tough. 2-7 is one thing, but it's hard to win. And these kids had never done it before, and now have figured out how to.
Doug, when you compare the – and I know you said you haven't had a chance to break down the series yet, but when you compare the Pacers to the Miami Heat, what differences are – what will the Heat – throw at the Raptors that, you know, the Pacers couldn't throw at them?
Well, they're bigger. Whiteside's a lot better than Mahinmi or Miles Turner, that's for sure. You know, Dwayne Wade is a tough cover. He's a veteran guy who just knows how to get things done. But the one thing that the Heat don't have, I don't think, is a lot of explosive scoring ability. Dragic's played well in the Charlotte series, but outside of that, I think they're prone to long droughts of bad offense.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's got to be a plus for Toronto. Guard play is going to be huge because it's Dragic and Wade against DeRozan and Lowry, and that's going to be an interesting matchup. Norm Powell is going to have to guard Dwayne Wade. I don't know how that's going to turn out, but I think it's going to be fun because you can get Damari Carroll on to Joe Johnson. So it's going to be an interesting matchup. Both teams they're kind of similar, but I think the Raptors have more depth and a little bit more shooting. The Heat don't shoot the ball particularly well.
What are you going to need out of Valanciunas in that series, Smitty?
A tie with Whiteside.
Yeah.
You know, just hold him down. Don't let him get 25 rebounds and 11 points. Just fight him. Fight him physically and move him away from the basket. I don't think you can get a lot of points out of him because Whiteside's a really good defender, but he's got to sort of tie him, I think, and then they're going to be okay.